First Timothy 3, verses 10 through 11. But let these also first be tested, then let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. Likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. So far the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. Last week's portion in verses 8 and 9, we discovered the character and theological convictions by which a man identifies to us, to his church, whom he has called to be a deacon. Now, in verse 10, it tells us what to do with them. These verses prescribe a particular procedure. Once we've found a man of the qualities in verses 8 and 9, and of the track record in his own home in verse 12, we still are not yet sure that we have a deacon. Something else must happen first. You see that word in verse 10. But let these also first be tested. They must be tested. It's an imperative verb. It's a command. It's not optional. A church that recognizes verses 8 to 9 men who have a verse 12 family and immediately approves and elects and installs them to the diaconate is disobeying Jesus. Just as you learn from your earliest childhood, we must obey right away, all the way, and cheerfully. And so even in little commands, if we hope in Jesus, if we want the diaconal ministry of the church to be fruitful to the glory of Jesus, if it depends on the power of Jesus, then we simply must do it according to the words of Jesus. So you must be tested. The word that's used for testing is actually the same word that we have in 1 Corinthians 11 when it says, let a man first examine himself, then let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Here we have a first, they must be examined, and then let them deacon. We'll get to the deaconing in a moment. But it means to prove by practice and be approved by the recognition of that practice, to give evidence. It's where we get the concept of a credible profession of faith. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone who says, I believe in Jesus, should be admitted to the Lord's table. And not everyone who has the character described in verses 8 and 9 is necessarily going to be installed into the diaconate, or ought to be, biblically, installed into the diaconate. He should have the function of a deacon before he's installed to the office of a deacon. He can function in service, and he can function in overseeing and administering service provisionally before he's recognized as an officer of the church. This is a biblical proof, one of many, that the Lord intends to have formal officers of the church, that he draws a distinction between having the function and being installed into the office. This doesn't mean that anyone who isn't a deacon can just have that function any more than it means that anyone who isn't an elder can just have that function. You remember in the last passage, he doesn't say, I don't allow a woman to be an elder. He says, I don't allow a woman to rule or to teach. So the functions are for the office. But here, just as sometimes, for instance, in order to test aptness to teach, we'll put a man into a teaching position, or we'll let a ministerial candidate preach provisionally to test his preaching, so also deacons are to be given provisional oversight over the use of the church's earthly resources, the distribution. and the distribution of that which is collected for those who have need. When they are tested, they must be found blameless. The blameless word here is a different word than verse 2. The word in verse 2 applied primarily to their character, that they are unblameable. It doesn't mean that nobody blames them. And here it is more without blame than unblameable. In other words, the Lord, during the period of testing, we expect him to give the congregation eyes to see, heart to appreciate his blessing upon the deacon's ministry. There's a very strong view here of the Lord's personal, close activity in the church, that he's the one who has graced the man. He is the one, the Lord is the one through whom we expect to work through the deacons. And so in the provisional test, we're not just looking to see for the consistency of the man's character or how well he does. We are looking to the Lord to bless the provisional example so that we may all rejoice with the installation of the deacon and those in the congregation who have blessed the Lord for what he did through the deacon will be prepared to submit to the deacon in matters of material things and choices about property and distribution to others and fairness. There's a lot of room for strife in the church, and we know 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and 2, for instance, that this is one of Satan's devices, that he uses strife in the church. And so the Lord, in the area of the diaconal care of the church's resources, has provided this testing and approving, and in order to give this wholehearted joining together of the entire congregation as it comes into the ministry of a new deacon. And you see the wisdom of the Lord and the goodness of the command, and how foolish we would be to disobey the good commands of our God. And yet we are very foolish in every area of life. And so we must resist that in every part of our life, resist the tendency in us to disobey God's commands when we know that he is good and we are not, and he is wise and we are not, so that when we come to something that may seem little, like let these first be tested and then let them serve as deacons, being found blameless, that we will follow the Lord's instruction and reap the benefit of his own blessing on his good commands. Well, there's a first imperative, let them be tested, and the second is also an imperative, let them serve as deacons. In fact, that entire phrase is just one word in the Greek. It's a third person plural imperative. We don't have third person imperatives in English, so it's difficult for us to have a good concept of a third person imperative, but it means that this is required, that the ones whom the Lord has so graced, the ones whose testing the Lord has so blessed, they don't have the option of whether or not they're going to be deacons. And the church doesn't have the option of whether or not to install them, because the church is not in charge of the church. The Lord Jesus is in charge of the church. And here is his word, and what happens in the life of the church is his work. And so they are to serve as deacons. Now there's an important part of the test. And the important part of the test in verse 11 is what sorts of women, what type of women they employ, they enlist in the work of especially distributing to the poor. That's primarily what's in view. There is the care, for instance, of elders who rule well and are worthy of a double honor so that you don't muzzle the ox. And there are there's the collection and administration of gifts for other churches that are in times of famine and so forth. But primarily in the New Testament, as we saw with the way the diaconate began, and as we'll see with the primary concern in the redistribution in 1 Timothy 5, focusing on the widows, the primary care is for those who cannot care for themselves, and women would be doing a lot of distribution. Now, I can sympathize with the translation, wives, in verse 11, because immediately in verse 12, it's going to say, let the deacons be men of one woman. There's not a separate word for husband or wife in the Greek. And so since he's going to say, let deacons be men of one woman, and he's using that word for to mean wife in verse 12, he may be using that word that way in verse 11. It's often a clue how a word is being used. But here, woman is in plural. The men, the deacons, are in the plural in verse 10. But I think it is expected that it won't just be deacons' wives who are participating in the distribution or the administration. If the deacons are too few to do it by themselves, as surely they were in Acts chapter 6, for instance, so also their wives would be too few in number. It's probably better to say, likewise, the women. Now notice, there's a likewise deacons that is parallel to the man who desires a bishop position of bishop in verse 1. So he goes with the office of bishop or overseer in verses 1 through 7, and then he says, likewise, deacons. And he describes the office of deacon in verses 8 through 13. And some will misread verse 11 when it says, likewise, the women, and say, oh, women is an office in the church. Well, no, that's not what they say, is it? They say he means women deacons. But if these women are the deacons, if they are among the diaconate, the ones who have qualifications and are first tested and then installed to the office, then why do they have different qualifications than in verse 9 and in verse 12? No, when it says likewise, it's talking about testing. That just as deacons are tested provisionally before they come into the office of overseeing the ministry of service, any women who are going to be regularly enlisted by the deacons for the distribution under the oversight of the deacons, they should be tested first. Deacons should give them low sensitivity, low stakes jobs in the management of material things in the church and distribution to others to see how they treat the needy to whom they distribute, how they do with preserving the honor and the name of those people. It's a very precarious position to be needy and to be dependent upon the charity of others. And you don't want malicious gossips. You want dignified, noble people, not silly people. People who, when they come to distribute, are going to treat the needy person with the full respect that one not only made in the image of God, but redeemed through God the Son and indwelt by God the Spirit. You want a dignified lady, not a silly person of the world adding a little social justice-y to her church life. And so she should be reverent. She mustn't be a slanderer. Some translations will say malicious gossip. It's actually a female form of the word devil. You want to say, there can be female deacons by misreading this verse? Well, that's not what this verse teaches, but this verse does teach that there can be female devils. That there can be those in whose mouths other people's names are not safe, with whom other people's dignity and other people's secrets are not safe. There is such thing as a female human who has the function of a devil because of the looseness of her lips and the lightness of her heart. And so, just as the deacons had to be tested first before they were installed to the office, so also They are given the instruction here in their function in the office that the women who are employed under the diaconate are to be tested first, and they're to be reverent and not slanderers. They are to be temperate, self-controlled, sober, not unstable or emotional. They may have to deal with or function in serving in sensitive situations, and they need not to be too easily affected emotionally by what is going on in some people's lives in the church. The church has sinners in it, and Christians go through difficulty, and the sort of woman who is going to be employed here needs not to be a brand new woman in the church or a young lady who doesn't have much experience or is going to be overly emotionally affected. She needs to be temperate, stable, self-controlled, sober, and then in the last place, faithful in all things. She needs to be reliable and dependable, doing whatever she's entrusted to do. And that last characteristic is the one that really helps us understand the likewise at the beginning of the verse. Because you only find out reliable and dependable by giving someone tasks and seeing if they get done, and if they get done the right way, and if they get done done well. So there's this principle in verse 10 and 11 of deacons being tested before they're installed to the office, and even those who serve under the deacons being tested by the deacons. Now, a wife not only is a plausible translation in verse 11, but would be a fairly easy in God's providence candidate for a deacon, because he has been testing her and observing her and knows her character better than he knows the character of any other women in the church. And surely we would expect that a deacon's wife will be involved in the work. There's not this sense in the Bible of a husband being called to one thing and a wife being called to some completely different thing. No, a wife is called to be her husband's wife. There may be much liberty and much delegation in his delegating things to her and employing her in many things, and yet it's expected that she will be doing whatever it is that most enables him and his calling, that they serve together as one, the two become one flesh. And so the character of a deacon's wife, because of the testing of the women who serve under the deacons, that will come into play. And especially, not just in verse 11, which we have before us now, but as part of ruling one's own house well, which we'll consider more fully next week when we do verses 12 and 13. Lord willing and Lord sparing us, and if he doesn't, and praise God, we will have a good lesson in the Bible and never need ourselves to use it. But we may yet desire that the church, so long as she remains, would obey Jesus and bring Jesus glory in dependence upon Jesus by his Spirit. Let's pray. Our Father, we pray that you would help us to obey you, to obey Christ in small things, those which seem small to us. Even such things as procedure by which to install deacons in your church. We pray, Lord, that you would produce in all of us these characteristics that make us useful for service, so that whether we ever come into office or not, we might be useful for service and bring Christ glory by the character and conviction that he produces in us and the fruit of service that he produces through us. Oh Lord, how marvelous that you redeem sinners such as we are by your great salvation. We pray that you would be glorified in your church, even in this part of how you take care of your poor under the kingship of Christ, which we ask in his name. Amen.